my name's Elaine Blair. I'm here at the AQ Bell Library with my CEO and boss, Helen Smite, and we are going to discuss the five books that have mapped your life.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to discuss some books.
I'll always discuss books. You know that.
I do know that. Can I take you back to your childhood? Is there some books or a book that has mapped your life from childhood?
This is hard because it's hard to cut it down. I am an absolutely avid reader and have been since the minute I could read. So I had all the Paddington books. I had all the Mr. Men books. I had all of the Beatrix Potter books and would go through them continuously.
Who is your favourite Mr. Man or Mr. Men book?
Do you know what? I was a big fan of Mr. Strong.
Mr. Small.
Yeah.
I love Mr. Small.
I got into trouble lifting my brother above my head, pretending to be Mr. Strong. But I went on to Famous Five, Shally School Girls, Jill Enjoys Her Ponies.
Nice. Did you have a pony?
No, but I thought I was going to be the next Gymkhana
Queen.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We used to sit on a wall and pretend we were riding a horse.
What you did back in the day.
Absolutely. There were simpler times. Loved Nancy Drew, Judy Blume, yeah.
Which one?
Ah, well.
Is there one?
Well, there's. I loved Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah.
And also, I had to write it down because I couldn't remember the whole title, but starring Sally J. Friedman as herself. Is that right? By Judy Blume. And I loved that because it was all about this girl who thought she was going to be this mega star and she was going to be on the stage. And I thought the same. And moved on from Gymkhana's. I was going to be on the stage.
Uh-huh.
I was going to be.
So the ponies were put to bed.
Yeah. So that was the next. And then Paul Zindel's My Darling, My Hamburger, when I was a bit older,
mm-hmm.
loved that book and loved a lot of his work.
Mm-hmm.
So read a lot of that. Really loved Scully by Alan Bleasdale,
mm.
which we got at school when I was in secondary school. And it was almost like a kind of Liverpudlian Catcher in the Rye.
Okay.
But this guy who is just trying to find his way, Franny Scully. And yeah, loved that book. So there's a whole series of them in there. Carrie's War, I know. We got, I'm just trying to think now, Primary 5, our Primary 5 teacher read to us,
mm-hmm.
Day of the Triffids. Which
in
was,
primary five?
Yeah, quite challenging.
Very.
I remember it. We were in a P56 composite class, so maybe she thought we were older than we were.
Mm-hmm.
Very scary. But loved that book ever since. But if I had to pick one book out of all of the childhood books, then Danny, Champion of the World. That was the first book that made me cry.
Really?
Yeah. And I think of all Roald Dahl's books, to me that's the one that's the most poignant.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that. So that was for my childhood book. If I have to pick one and it's really hard, then that would be it.
Great. So moving on, is there book number two in the life of Helen?
Well, yeah, I was trying to think because, as you know, I read so much.
You
that
do.
Quite often, what goes in one, when I start reading the next book, it goes out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't always remember them. However, I remember reading 10 Rillington Place when I was a student, Ludwig
okay.
Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first time that I'd really read a true crime and something which was really about the kind of very awful things
mm-hmm.
which seem to only happen in the modern world but have been happening throughout
back.
Time. And
yeah.
I just thought it was amazingly well written. I loved his writing. I loved the way that the kind of forensic exploration of
mm-hmm.
that piece. So that really stands out as something when I started to read more which was non-fiction
mm-hmm.
but for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at school you read the non-fiction because you had to know what happened in whatever part of the world. This was the first time that I picked something up and I thought, oh, I really...
This
really
is reading
like,
for pleasure
yeah.
and it's non-fiction and you've chosen it and it's
yeah.
it's your book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you reread it since?
Yes, and I've watched several of the film or TV adaptations
uh-huh.
that have been done over the time for it. And again, I think it's quite, you know, I mean, at its heart, it's a really dark, awful,
mm-hmm.
awful story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way in which people can manipulate
mm-hmm.
people around them into believing things which are so clearly not,
mm-hmm.
you know, no, she hasn't disappeared. No, she's not under the bath.
Really?
Or, you know, all of that kind of stuff, I think, was... it was a good introduction at that point when you're a student and you're looking out at the rest of the world, what's happening, what's going on, and actually getting a sense of the light and dark and the shade, and that
life,
actually the world is much more complex and relationships are much more complex. So it was a good time to be reading that.
So we're moving on to book three. Is it another non-fiction book? Are we getting back into fiction?
No, it is. In fact, bizarrely, almost all of them are non-fiction.
Okay.
So, and I recently recommended that other people should read this. So my first professional job when I graduated was at Perth Theatre, of all places. Who knew? And it was on their production of Judy, their touring production of Judy, starring Leslie Mackey and Terry Vale. And it was a fantastic production. And when I realised I was going to be working on that, I sought out biography. And there'd been a new biography just published at that point by David Shipman. And it's the definitive one of her story. And it was just really shocking to see how children, and she was a child.
She was a child at the very
beginning. When she started, were abused by the adults around them for profit in that way. And somehow they had to be grateful for it. And
made them a star. They made them a star.
They had stardom, but they had no freedom. And just the poignancy of what she gave the world in terms of her talent.
Which is still around today. We still love Judy and watch Judy.
Yeah.
But at what price?
Yes, absolutely. And I think she had such a horrific childhood. Poor old Judy Blume. She had such a horrific childhood. But I think ultimately was always destined to, you know, die early.
End.
It was always going to end badly. You know, and I'm not sure that in the Hollywood system, says she, who like I know, but I'm not sure how much has changed, whether that exploitation of people and young people, and now the exploitation is different. It's YouTube stars exploited.
But it's all about money. It's still and always will be money driven.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah. So, and that was my first foray, I think, into biography and really enjoying that. And I remember the next one that I read immediately after that was a biography of Arthur Miller, and I would do that, you know, and it just took me into that. I was really interested in what made people that I admired or was interested in tick. So but I've learned over the years you have to maybe read a couple of different ones about the same person
to get the different view and the different viewpoints and how they're writing the book.
Yeah, it's always the author's perspective, and that's not always
true.
Yeah
So, moving on.
Yeah.
Book four.
Well, book four is another is it non-fiction? I suppose it's a crossover.
Okay.
So, True Confessions and New Clichés by Liz Lockhead.
Okay.
Which is a beautiful collection of her writing, which is funny and very Scottish.
Which is good.
Yeah. And I absolutely love it. And it's a book that I go back to again and again and again for inspiration or just to read on a wet day. I love her mastery of Scots language and how she can evoke very clearly and very powerfully everyday life and particularly women's experiences within that.
And so beautifully put it onto paper as well for us to admire.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is great.
And she used to be part of a group called the Nippy Sweeties.
Good name.
In effect, you know, we talk nowadays about how, you know, isn't it wonderful to have all of this poetry slams and spoken word. And they were doing that. They were touring that to sell out audiences, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s. And that's what it was. It was spoken word with a bit of song and, a bit of stand-up, really.
So it was really just a Saturday night in Glasgow. Just put around the country.
Absolutely,
With the drunken uncle in the background.
Yeah.
Is it a book to gift? Would you gift that book?
I would, and I have, yes. But I would choose who to give it to. I think I would always, I don't know why, but I think I would always give it to a young woman.
Okay.
Because I think it's particularly Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are experiences and themes in it that are universal, but it speaks so well to how we are as a nation in terms of sense of humour, the kind of slightly dark edge to our humour, and to how blunt and brutal we can be with each other. And I really, really like it.
So we've got there, book number 5.
The last book, and I thought, I have to have something in here which is a bit of fiction. It's Noughts and Crosses by Ian Rankin, because I am a serious Scottish noir crime buff. And that was probably the book that kicked that off. And I have loved his writing, loved his characters ever since. How he's still got Rebus going
on the go all these years
incredible.
Later.
He should have died a long time ago from failure.
But
liver.
You just can't. He just can't.
No.
It's just no.
And I think that for me was a turning point again, where it was then I got very much into Tartan Noir, and I'm a terrible seer. It goes back to having to read all of Paddington, all of the Mr. Men.
Yes.
You know, if there's a book series, I'll have to read all of them.
Yes.
And I get caught in that, even in the ones that I don't particularly like.
Okay.
But I kind of think, no, I just have to read that, see if it gets any better.
Are you the sort of person when there is a series and there's a new one come out that you can't remember how the last book left off, so you've got to go back and read the book ready for the new book to come out?
Yeah. I don't read the whole book. I just read the last 10 pages to remind myself before I go
before
into
you go,
the next one.
Because there's nothing worse than starting that book, looking forward to that book coming and going,
thinking,
what happened? How did we get here? So, yeah.
And you think, who are they?
Yeah.
The other thing which I'm terrible for, and any true book lover would probably be very annoyed with me for, is that if I start a book and I think, oh, I know who did this, this is rubbish, I'll just skip to the end chapter. And
I don't have an issue with that. I do the same. If it's not holding my attention, I just skip to the end, and that was the end. Move on.
Yeah. I have quite a few books where the middle spine of the book is not broken at all. It's just like, no, put that back on the shelf. And life is too short to read bad books.
Correct.
But
there's always another book there that will grab your attention, so why struggle?
Yes.
In my opinion, and who am I, but why struggle?
Absolutely.
Find something you want.
I think the struggle is trying to cut it down,
yes.
And trying to say, well, actually, if I had to think about it, what are the ones that are markers for me or the journey of my reading?
And there's more to come.
Absolutely.
There's always more to come.
Yeah, and usually in an Amazon package through the door that I've forgotten I pre-ordered.
And get two.
Yes, and because I've also ordered it from the library.
Yes, you're always at the top of the reservation list.
Absolutely.
Anyway, on behalf of Culture Perth and Ross, I thank you for taking time out, and thank you for your 5 books.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.